John's Gospel at chapter 1. Gospel according to John in your Bible and chapter 1. I want to notice with you tonight one of the very first sermons of John the Baptist and then the last sermon that he preached from John the Baptist. And in each of them, he has a difficulty. And his difficulty is with the attitude of the people to whom he's preaching. That is, they had questions. They were raised with a very religious background, most of them. And some of them, they were listening for the eloquence of a preacher. And there were others, they were saying, well, I've been baptized. What else is there? Difficulties that were in their thinking they didn't have an answer for. And John's two sermons answer their questions. So if there are those in this audience tonight, and as you have been listening to Elton preach to you tonight from the Word of God, you're asking questions. You're saying, yes, but. And, you know, but this is what I think. And, you know, this is the way I was raised. That's different from what I heard. Well, John's two sermons will answer your question. We're going to read them, if you will, in John chapter 1. And we'll just get a little connection. Notice at verse 19. This is the record of John when the Jews came, Jews and priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? Who in the world do you think you are, preacher? Talking to us. And he confessed, and he denied not, but he confessed, I'm not the Christ. And they asked him, what then, art thou Elijah? He said, no, I'm not. Art thou that prophet? They've been looking for that prophet, but they never found him. And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight or prepare for the coming of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. As said the prophet, I'm telling you what your prophet said. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then? If thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. You've missed him. He's been here with you and you missed him. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, this is what I was telling you. Look, look, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That can be rightly said this way. Behold, Jesus, see, there he is, the Lamb of God's providing, the taker away of the sin of the world. Now John chapter 3, please, for his last sermon. And commence reading at verse 25. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, he's talking about Jesus now, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. And John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Look for the source of it. What's he telling you? Is it from heaven? Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. I am glad to hear him preach. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthy and speaketh of the earth. But he that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath said, seen, and heard, that he testifieth. And no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony is set to a seal that God is true, for he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure. That's not incrementally. It's not fragmentarily. You listen to him, you're listening to the voice of the Spirit of God too. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You can see from John's preaching his great wisdom. He's not going to have a debate with the people. And friend, God is not wanting to debate with you about questions that you have. He's wanting to direct your attention and focus to what satisfies him. That's what the gospel message is really declaring. God in heaven has found a satisfaction whereby he may speak to us who are sinful in words of grace and love. And that's what John is doing. The first thing I want you to notice, of course, is when we look at the questions of these people, let me point out to you, friend, where their focus was. Perhaps it's just the problem that you're having as you're listening tonight. They were looking to men, the preachers. The preacher cannot communicate eternal life, friend. There is no preacher that can twist your life around and make you different. He can give you counsel, but that's dependent upon you to respond. But that is an outward change. But all the past pages of your little history are marked by your sin. And not one of those pages can be erased unless you come to know what John is saying. You stop looking at men. Stop looking at the preacher. Don't be looking for the prophet. Look to God's provision. Behold, the Lamb of God's providing. Now, for those of you who are not very well acquainted with our Bible and you're reading this and listening tonight, the Lamb is identified as the person of the Lord Jesus. John says, Jesus is a lamb of God's providing. Why a lamb? That has to do with sacrifice. I had the great joy in being in Gander, Newfoundland, speaking with some dear boys that were, they were Chinese boys, and some of you are dear Chinese folk here tonight. And I said to one of them, he told me that he had trusted Christ as his Savior. So I said to him, Matthew, he called himself Matthew. Matthew, I said, I want you to write down for me your character for righteousness. So he did. He scribbled it down. I call it scribble, excuse me, Chinaman. But he wrote this character down there. I said to him, now Matthew, explain that character to me. And he looked at it. He said, that's an altar with a lamb on it and a man underneath. I said, that's righteousness. That lamb has taken that man's place and he's sheltered by it. And friend, that's what this text is saying. That's what John wants the people to get to see. Look to the Lamb. There lies all the acceptance with God. The Lamb of God's providing. And he titles them, he says, he's the taker away of the sin of the world. Any man, anywhere, or woman, child, in our world who turns to God's provided Savior for sinners, the Lord Jesus, he has the virtues of the work of Christ, sins taken away. That little book with the black pages, God takes the whole book and he writes the end and closes the book and will never open it again. No judgment in the future. No punishment for those sins eternally. God looks at the Lord Jesus and he sees the answer that satisfies him for the sin of the world. So let me ask you tonight, friend, where are you focusing your thinking? Get away from the preacher. We are only like John. John said, don't get occupied with me. I'm just a voice. In other words, I'm just a messenger. And I'm telling you where you should be looking. And friend, tonight, that's what we wish to do in this gospel meeting. We're telling you the message of John. Notice, first of all, he prefaces his little message about the Lamb of God with these words. Make straight the way of the Lord. Now that word make straight means get the obstacles out of the way. Whatever you do, don't allow obstacles to keep you from being ready to receive the Lord. That's what the preacher is for, friend. That's the great truth of the Word of God. And so I ask you to look at your experience, friend. Whatever you do, don't allow argument in your mind to get between you and being willing to receive the Lord Jesus. He's the taker away of the sin. You'll have no peace with God. You will have no assurance of acceptance. And certainly you could never be in God's heaven. Whatever you do, don't be like these people. They were looking at the preacher to argue with them. Who are you? Who sent you? Why do you talk like this? Oh, he says, get rid of the difficulties. And another difficulty they had was baptism. Now, there are people that do believe, and friend, the Bible teaches baptism. John was baptizing. The Lord Jesus was baptizing. I've been baptized. After I received the Lord Jesus as my Savior, I was baptized. That's my public confession to whoever wants to see it. I have put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for my salvation, not John Baptist. No, not any other preacher, but in God's provided Lamb. So friend, tonight, don't look to your baptism. Some may have been baptized as a baby. Don't ever count on that, friend. Take that difficulty out of the way, because this is the responsibility that this preacher John is saying. You have to take the difficulties out of the way to be ready to receive the Lord Jesus. You and I have a moral responsibility to the God of heaven to look at the Lord Jesus and don't let anything hinder you from putting your faith in him. That's why John, in his first passage, this first little sermon that he is giving here. And interestingly, you know, it's only a short sermon, and the next day he preached the same thing. It's not something new, friend, that you need to hear. It is God's message. First of all, get down to business and be real tonight. You've been hearing about sin. One of the first responses in our heart, and I'm telling you from history, from my own history, is we rise up that little wall of self-defense. I went to school with a boy, his name was Roy Stoner. He swore a blue streak. His mom and dad were the same. That's where he learned it. And I can remember saying, Roy Stoner needs to be saved. I swore once at my brother. And when I got home and he told my dad washed my mouth out with soap. That's why I didn't swear. I didn't like the soap. It wasn't that it wasn't in my heart. Friend, your heart and my heart and Roy Stoner's heart's the very same. there is no difference. It was his upbringing that taught him to speak like that. My upbringing kept the lid on it. But that did not change the fact that I am a sinner without a Savior on the road that's going down to hell. And it's time, Jim Smith, you got rid of the difficulties that will stop you from receiving the Lord Jesus. Stop the argument. Stop depending on the baptism. Stop looking to the preacher. Listen to the message of heaven. Behold, take a look. Look at the man, Jesus. He is God's provided sacrifice on behalf of sinners. He's the taker away of the sin of the world. Before John left, the next day, when John preached the same thing before he left, he lost two disciples. There were two men heard him preaching, and they left him. But they followed Jesus. They obeyed the text. They went after the Lord Jesus. My friend, as you leave this room tonight, I ask you, how will you respond to the taker away of the sin of the world? Don't let that little defense mechanism of pride that stops you from thinking you're not as bad as that preacher's making out. Friend, you're born bad. And every page of your little life's history, God has a record of. And there has not been one sin erased. From the day of your accountability to God till this hour, every sin is indelibly marked. And the only possible way you can have that brought to an end, God being satisfied with the Lord Jesus as the answer for you tonight, look to Jesus. He's the taker away of the sin of the world. Will you turn to him? That's what those two men did. They left John. They turned to the Lord Jesus. And from that day onward, they became his disciples. Couldn't be otherwise. They took the message. And when they turned to him, he received them. Took them home with him that very day. Let me notice with you the last sermon of John the Baptist in John chapter 3. Again, dear John, you know, it's a very interesting thing. He did not have a very long time of preaching the gospel, dear John, probably 6 months. And then he was beheaded. Just a short term, but he filled those 6 months with messages about the Lamb of God. He wanted the people to get their focus right. Oh, friend, whatever you do in this meeting tonight, how will you ever go to your sleep in your bed with your sins unforgiven? How will you? How will you ever be brought into the presence of God to meet the God that loved you and gave his beloved Son out of the bliss of heaven to go to Calvary and become the sacrifice, the sin bearer, to accept the darkness, to accept death, to accept judgment from the hand of God in the silence of those 3 long dark hours when he cried from the bottom of his heart, "Oh my God, why didst thou forsake me?" Taking the guilty sinner's place. Let me tell you what one of the prophets did say about him. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. That's the Lamb. That's the Lamb of God's providing, the taker away of the sin of the world. He was wounded. He was bruised. The chastisement that we might have peace was upon him. And with his stripes, those stripes of divine wrath that my sins deserve, it fell upon him, says the prophet. And by his stripes, I am saved. I sat beside the bed of a dear man by the name of Larry. He was dying with cancer. He had been a Sunday school student many, many years ago, but got away, called up a Sunday school teacher, and we went to visit him. And he says, I'm going to be in hell. I know that I have nothing to take me to heaven. What will I do? After talking with him for a little, I asked him to read that verse for me in Isaiah 53. Just the word of the prophet, friend, not my word, God's word. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement for our peace was upon him, was upon him. Not will be when you do the right thing. It was upon him. That's the good news of it, friend. And by his stripes we are healed. I said, Larry, do you see anything in that verse? He says, I see substitution. Isn't that marvelous, friend? That's exactly what John was preaching. Behold, the Lamb of God's providing, taking the guilty sinner's place and suffered in his stead for man. Oh, what a miracle of grace. For man, the Savior bled. Behold, the Lamb of God, the taker away of the sin of the world. After 6 months, John is still preaching the same message. But let me notice with you the difference that he's mentioning here in these verses. There's a religious festival coming on, and the people are all stirred up about this festival. Wonder what the preacher John's going to do about this religious holiday. What's he going to do now? After all, we're going to bring our sacrifices. We're going to bring all our prayers. And maybe that's what you've been doing, friend. May I say to you kindly, God hears the prayer, but he knows he can't accept it as a value to take you to heaven because you've never come to the Son. You've never come to know the gift of the taker away of the sin of the world. And that's what John is dealing with. Oh, he says, you've got it wrong again. You've got it wrong again. Listen, he says, the Father loveth the Son, and he hath given all things into his hand. He trusted him with the mighty work of being the Lamb, the work of salvation. He trusted him with it, and he finished it. You heard his word at Calvary. It is finished. He's giving that statement to God. The work is done. Sin's payment is made. And now he says, and he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Friend, that's a gift of grace that God is offering to every sinner who will stop their arguing, turn away from all their questions and listen to the message. Behold, the Lamb of God, the taker away of the sin of the world. Will you turn to him? And he that believeth on the Son, put your faith in the Lord Jesus. Not baptism, not the preacher, not the prophet, not the ceremony, not the festival. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus, and God says you'll have everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son, for whatever reason in that audience and in this audience tonight, for whatever reason, you may leave that seat of yours without Christ as your Savior. Listen, friend. To go away and go to your rest and to face eternity without receiving Christ. God says, he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, baptized or not, preacher or not, sacrifices for the festival or not, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but friend, the wrath of God, the wrath of God against you as a sinner and an unbelieving sinner abides over your head. Will you take the warning? Will you believe God about the second part of my text tonight and cause you to stop? Get it settled, friend. Get the difficulties out of the way. Get your eye upon what God wants you to see tonight at Calvary. The Lord Jesus settled the sin question, and tonight He lives to make good His promise. He that puts their faith in Me, he that believeth on the Son, hath everlasting life. I've got it. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. When Jesus washed my sins away, I ask you, friend, would you like that peace? Would you love to be able to go to your rest tonight and lift your eye away to heaven and say, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift, the Lamb of Calvary, eternal life, the gift of His grace. Listen to the first message. Behold, take a good look at the Lamb of God's providing, the taker away of the sin of the world. And take a good look at the tremendous fact, if you don't believe it, the wrath of God abides upon you. You know, there's two things in that little statement that are very precious. The one is that it's abiding, it's not falling. That's good news. If the wrath of God fell on me because of my feelings and my unbelief when I was in my sin, I would be in hell tonight, never to be released. And friend, that's a mercy for you. Thank God His wrath has not fallen upon you in your sin. Turn tonight. He's giving you an opportunity of a lifetime. Turn to the Lamb of God who suffered for sin at Calvary. Put your faith in Him, and God says you'll have everlasting life for eternity. Let us pray. Our God in heaven, every one of us should bow our hearts in raw awe, in honor as well as awe, and in reverence as we think of the tremendous fact that Thou didst so love the world. We are here tonight in this world. Therefore, every one of us are subjects and objects of Thy great love. Oh, the wonder of it. May it move every heart here that God has set His love upon them. He does not want them to die in sin and wake up in hell. Oh, God, Thou dost desire the joy of being able to give them eternal life if they would turn to Thy dear Son who accomplished all the pleasure of Thy holy purposes in going to Calvary on behalf of the sinner, opening the door of mercy, and the invitation is still going forth tonight. We ask blessing upon it. And those who are here in the audience, oh, may they believe God tonight and enter into the realities of the great peace of knowing sins forgiven. We do pray as we once again thank Thee for the Lord Jesus in all His ability to become the sacrifice acceptable with God for sinners. And we thank Thee He could say, it is finished. It will resound and echo through the courts of heaven forever, the finished work of a living Savior. We thank Thee for Him. We ask blessing on Thy word tonight to His praise and the everlasting blessing of sinners in this audience, we pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.